All right, someone tell me something that you're excited about, something that's good, something that you're thankful for, okay? Just want to hear some good stuff. Could be from the Christmas season, it could be from your nap time. Harper, what you got?
Christmas and my donkey.
Christmas and your donkey. Hee-haw, hee-haw. All right.
That'll do, donkey.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do. What are you excited about? Awesome, awesome. And is it a freshman year? Very cool. And you're excited that she's coming home. So that speaks well of your family environment. If you're like, oh, my sister's coming home. Very cool, very cool. So a little girl time. I love it. Aiden will be all weepy.
What?
Someone tell me something good.
Leaving backpack ministry.
You're heading down with Billy Bob. And how many packs are you taking with you?
That guy.
And how many backpacks do you think you'll hand out in the course of the week?
5,000
backpacks. So, yeah.
Where are you going? Pineville, Kentucky is where we stay, but we go to Kentucky, Tennessee.
It's that real tight place of land over by the Cumberland where Kentucky meets Tennessee, meets Virginia, and you can kind of.
So we're in all three every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exciting, yeah.
Is that the Hatfields and the
McCoys? Yeah, them too. It's such an ethnic profiling. That's wrong, Tiffany, on so many levels. Something else, something good. Porter, you're going to tell us something good that God's doing in your life.
Is everyone going to Kentucky?
Yes, everyone is going to Kentucky. Yes, we're all leaving after class.
I'm going to be thankful when the Cowboys beat the Eagles later on tonight.
You're going to be thankful when the Cowboys beat the Eagles tonight. We're thankful for ministering to the poor and impoverished, and we're thankful for football. God bless America. God bless America. Who's who what? Oh, they had family Christmas tonight. Ooh. Oh, should we like send them a text like, hey, we think you're standing us up for a whatever it might be. Okay, what's the first commandment? What's the first commandment?
You got it?
I am the Lord your God. Out of the house of slavery. No other gods before me. Yeah, and it's a commandment that's rooted and connected to story. Okay, these aren't just arbitrary God throws. You know what? I think you should just make me number one. And I tell you what, don't kill people, and let's think of something else, no stealing. No. There is an invitation to participate and walk in a story. And it's a story of deliverance, a story that brings us out of slavery and out of bondage. Okay? We're going to continue that. And remember, none of these commandments exist, none of these words exist in isolation. They're all kind of flow one and in out of the other, that to break one, the whole house of cards really crumbles, right? And they all kind of logically flow one to another. The first five do kind of anchor in our relationship vertically with God. The latter five do kind of focus in on our relationship one with another. But still, if I'm going to make God first, and I'm not going to create images, and I'm going to revere his name, well, then I'm also not going to kill people. I'm not going to steal stuff because I trust him. And I'm going to tell the truth. So, tonight, what are we doing? You shall not make for yourself an idol. All right, what is the second commandment? You shall not make for yourself an idol. Let's all write that down. Let's dive into it. I'll get you push-ups. Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol. And I am sure none of us have done that. Ever. How are we doing, Jackson? You good?
Yeah.
All right, let's make sure you get that written down in your box. Mr. Adam hooking you up with your papers? He's a cool guy. Like, hey, this is just between you and, yeah. So, like, when the zombie apocalypse happens, you want to make sure that you're with Adam, because he's that guy. Okay? Just letting you know. Like, you can hang out with me, but we're just going to go over to Adam's house. Okay? Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Some of the commandments are short. Some of the commandments don't take up a lot of real estate. Like, don't kill. That's it. And it moves on to the other ones. Some of them have a lot of real estate. Let me read to you everything that this commandment entails and involves. Okay? So this is Exodus 20. This is the first part, verse 4, but it goes for a couple more verses. Right? Listen to this. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above. It's in the earth beneath. It's under the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay, this is the part where you say, thank you, Pastor Paul, for only making us memorize that part. Right? Okay? You should not make for yourself an idol. Let me read it to you again. Okay? Let me see if you can just see if you can get some of the working pieces. Okay? This is the whole commandment. So the commandment, don't make for yourself into carved image, an idol, and then he opens up. What does all that involve? Ready? You should not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. Okay? Three tiers. Heaven, earth, waters. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity on the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. All right, so let's unpack that a little bit. What do you think that means? It means that the earth is flat. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly right. That the earth is flat. Yeah, you have a question, because then we're going to respond to what Miss Tiffany said about a flat earth.
So, you said that there was water under the earth?
Yes.
I thought it was like magma or lava.
Yes. Absolutely. Awesome. Moving on. No. Okay, we're not going to. Okay, so what we have to remember, okay, and let's not spend a lot of time on this, is the ancient Near East, their cosmology, how they understood the world, is exactly what they saw, boots on the ground, okay? So if I stand, and I think Ohio is a great example, if I go out in the middle of cornfield, somewhere around Eldena, and I stand there, and I look at how the world is made, and I look at its structure, I would imagine that I'm standing in a giant snow globe. Right? Because you've got this big domed thing over the top, right? The heavens and the skies up there, I can't get to it, but I know that that's like up where the stars and spiritual beings are. So you've got the heavens things, and you got the earth where I am. Now let's just transport myself over to the Middle East, and if I start walking long enough, I bump into the water. And if I walk the other direction, what am I going to do? I'm going to bump into some water. So I'm on land, and everything else is water. It's a giant snow globe. Okay? They understood the world to function in three tiers. Okay? Based on what they saw. Heavens above, the earth, and the waters underneath it. When you read the Genesis account, and God brings forth the land out of the waters of chaos. Okay, that's functioning on a lot of different layers. This is not Genesis making a scientific declaration on how things are made. This is Genesis making a theological declaration that out of chaos and disorder and destruction, God brings order and home and peace. Okay? But what do you think it means, okay, when he says, hey, no making idols? Nothing from up here, nothing from here, nothing from down there. Porter, what do you think? Open that up a little bit for me, guy. Oh, buddy, what are you saying?
When you know that God did all this, like, built the path and started doing other stuff, like evolution
or
other gods.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah?
What's the difference between, like, the first commandment and this commandment?
You should have known the gods before me? Don't make idols. We're going to get there. Okay, but I want you to answer my question. What is it talking about when he says, don't make idols from anything that's in the heavens, anything on the earth, or anything below? What's he in essence saying? That covers everything, right? No making idols of anything. Don't be carved an image, right, Harper? Right? Nothing from up here, nothing from down here, nothing from there. Don't carve images. Don't be making idols. What do you think it means when it says don't be bowing down to them? Okay? Yeah.
Like, don't think they're better or something.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Because, yeah, when we bow down to something, what are we saying? Yeah, submission, worship, value, worth. Yeah. To bow down to it is to give it worship, to humble yourself underneath it. So he says, don't make idols, carved images, out of anything. One of the ways that you can do, don't be bowing down to things. Don't be worshiping things. Now, why? What's the first commandment? Commandment of gods, right? Don't be making carved images. Don't bow down to them. He says, what about serving them? What do you think it means to serve images? Mm-hmm.
Don't use your time, don't use your resources following something else.
So, gods would have temples, right? How many of you, like, you know, watch Disney's Hercules, right? Or some mythological Percy Jackson-esque TV show where there's a god and that god has a temple. Inside of that temple, there's an image, but there's also normally priests. Priestesses that do the work, that bring sacrifices, that make sacrifices, that teach, that handle things. What's the first commandment? No other gods. So number two, don't be bowing down and serving other images. All right, so we have this question then. What's an image? Jackson, you are on the answers tonight, dude. I don't know what you ate for lunch, but well done. Go ahead.
Like a picture of something.
A picture of something, okay. Go ahead. Yeah, Porter. What's an image?
Well, images can be like pictures in your imagination.
Interesting. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Jackson, will you run in and get the Trinity painting that's above my white chair? What's an image? Because I'm not supposed to make myself a carved image. I'm not supposed to make an idol. So what is that talking about? Don't. Right? Like team jerseys. Oh, okay. Eric's brain stopped for about a millisecond. He's like, I got to cover this real fast. This is an unorthodox painting. This is not the original. I wish I had the original. Could you imagine? I would so retire. This is a famous iconographic presentation of the three visitors that come and visit Abraham. Okay? Abraham has three angelic beings that come and talk to him about his future. Hey, you know, tell you what, this time next year, your wife's going to be pregnant, God's going to do all these good things, and Abraham prepares a meal for him. Three angelic beings. Okay? But there's something about how the angelic beings are described that almost makes you think like you're talking about the Trinity as you read the passage in Genesis. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? Have I ever shown you guys this painting before? No? Are you serious? This is my jam. Okay? So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Trinity. Okay? If you'll notice, all three of them are touching. All their wings are connected. If you notice, these two are always looking at the Father. Okay? If you'll notice, his head is not bowing. These two are bowing in submission to him. Okay? Okay. This is your idol. Hold on now. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Okay? Okay, you can see here that there's this cup, this laver that has a sacrificial meal in it of lamb. Okay? But you'll also notice that the negative space that's created between these two creates a cup, and that the Lamb of God is in the center of it. Can you see that? Look at the outline of the shape. It's a cup, and the Lamb of God is in the center of it. Okay? What's that? Him? Yep. His hand is a posture of blessing. Oh, him? Yep. His hand right here? Yep. He's pointing to somebody else. This is painted in a, it's called reverse perspective. It's painted in reverse perspective, meaning if you are watching this from the outside, from a three-dimension, it's a two-dimensional presentation of a third-dimensional idea. Okay? Okay? It's painted in such a way that you are to be believed to be here sharing the meal with them. So, as the Father looks to the Son and the Spirit looks, the Spirit is inviting you to join. Okay? Some believe that this little box here was a mirror that the original artist had intended so that when you looked at it, you saw your face at the table also. Okay? So, this is an example of what we call Orthodox iconography. It's an icon. Okay? The Father is here in front of the house because it is the picture of his authority and how he takes care of the house. Here is this tree, okay, because Jesus hung upon the tree. Here is the Spirit that flows forth from the rock, the living water that is the Holy Spirit. Okay. Is this an icon? It is. Is this an image? Is this an idol?
Not carved.
It is painted. And it's a painting of Jesus. It's a painting. What do you think, Jackson? Do you think this is an image?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is this naughty? I don't know. The pastor has it, but what do you think? I'm not bowing down to it, but I do look at it a lot. But it is God. So,
it's not something other than God, and he's jealous, so you're giving attention to God, so it's not enough.
All right, so what about the painting or the picture that I have of my wife? Everyone take out your phones. You got pictures of other things?
Oh, yeah, but he's first.
Oh, but he's first. He's first. You shall have no other gods before me. Right, so as long as he's in pole position, all the other cars can fall in line, right? Right? What does it mean that you shall not have or make for yourself an idol?
Wait, what was the first thing?
That you don't love it, that you don't keep it, that you don't worship it, that you don't serve it, that you put him first. What does it mean? What are your thoughts? Before I answer the question, God is an idol maker. Did you know that? God makes his own idols. God carves his own images. That's why he really doesn't want you doing it. That's his job. Go ahead, Jackson.
Are we idols?
Because you're the idol. Because you're the image. So if you unpack the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, it's presented in such a way that it follows the celebration and the ceremonial creation of a temple. Okay, it's ordered in such a way. First you do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this. And the very last thing that you do before you commemorate and open up the temple, the last thing that you place in the middle of the temple is what, do you think? What's that? Not people. Here's a church, here's a steeple, open up, see all the people. Oh. The last. So if it's a temple to Zeus, the last thing that you put in there is the statue of Zeus, the image of Zeus. If it's a temple to Aphrodite, after everything is built and the pedestal is formed and the sacrifices are ready and the priests are ready, the very thing that you would do is you would bring in and you would usher in that statue of Aphrodite. The last thing that God does when he builds the creation paradise, his temple and his tabernacle, his manifest presence here on earth, what's the last thing that gets created and placed right in the middle of the garden? What is it? It's his idol. It's you. Male and female, he created them. You are his image. You're his idol. So why do you think he has a problem with you running off making idols and bowing down to them? Porter, bring it home, buddy. He's a jealous God. Very good. I like that. Jackson.
Because he made us.
He made us. He's like, dude. I saw squirrel. Okay. I saw this. It wasn't Far Side, but it was kind of Far Side-esque, where this angel walks into God and says, yeah, now they're making almond milk. He's like, almond milk? I gave them, why they have to make milk out of almonds when I already gave them milk from, seriously? It was just playing on the fact that, why do you need to do that when I've already done this? Why do you need to go making an idol? I like almond milk, don't get me wrong. Why do you need to go making, sorry, squirrel? Why would you go make an idol when God already made the idol? How many of you like steak? Own it, right? There's no reason we should be ashamed. This is a safe place. How many of you like a good steak? It's okay if you don't. I don't judge you. I mean, right now I am judging you. But no, just... What's that?
I like good steak, but not the old...
not the old chewy, gristly parts. Right, right, yeah. Or like bologna, right? A good steak. So, here, yeah, Harper, you have a question. You're just proclaiming your love for steak. Absolutely. So you have the opportunity. Okay, I'm going to bring in this beautiful tomahawk cut ribeye. It's thick and it's beautifully charred with this garlic butter and salt and pepper, and it's done just right. Or you could have this hamburger.
Is it from McDonald's?
Poor thing. All right, let's talk about this for a second.
Wait, what kind of cheese?
Why? Why? Why are you going to go making an idol? Why are you going to worship something? I mean, you are the pinnacle of God's creation. You are the placeholder of his glory and his majesty. He has come to you and said, you be my image. What are you doing bowing down to something else? What are you doing creating other images and other idols? You are my idol. Let's write something down together. Are there thoughts before I push this button?
What's the difference between an idol and being a fan?
Oh, that's a huge question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love Bon Jovi, but I don't love him more than God, and I don't bow
down. And as long as God's in pole position, right?
Well, but what is the difference? I mean, what makes it?
Don't bow. Don't serve.
But I pay for his music. I go to his concerts. I mean, where's
yeah?
Where is that?
It's written in such a majestic way where you really have to wrestle with that. Is this something that I enjoy, or is this something that I worship?
Oh, I enjoy it. I don't worship
I mean, that's the question. I mean, that's the heartfelt question where I need to wrestle. Hey, spouse could become that. A loved one could become that easily, right? Where instead of being that thing, which here, let's write this down because I love this answer. As God's image bearer, we model and direct His worship for all creation. Okay? I love the questions that you guys are asking. It's just so good. As God's image bearer. Jackson, you got all your pieces now, man? Hey, there's a country song in that somewhere. Value. God says you're this, and why are we settling down on this? Okay. As God's image bearer, we model and direct His worship for all creation. Okay? So God makes His own idol. He makes His own icon. He makes His own image. And what is the purpose of that? Okay? So imagine, if you will, we're in Hercules, we're in Zeus's temple, we're in Aphrodite's temple. And the whole purpose of that statue, of that image, is to do what? Not that it's worshipped, right? No one walking into that temple says, that's Zeus right there, right? That's not Zeus. Everyone knows that. But what is that statue? His image, His representation. It is to direct focus towards Zeus. It's to direct worship towards Zeus, not the statue itself. No one's like, hey, that statue, that's him. No. As His icon, as His image, it is our collective responsibility to get the rest of creation to worship Him. To direct their praise, to model worship. So He's like, dude, why are you worshiping that when it's your responsibility to get everything to worship Me? Does that make sense? And so you have to wrestle with, do I worship Bon Jovi? That sounds like somebody who worships Bon Jovi would say, right?
Like, worship, I don't think.
I don't know. That's what you have to do. Do I bow down to it? Do I serve it? Does it consume me? There's, when I get to my evening reflection, hey, God, I have a question. Like, did I bow down to something today that I shouldn't have? Did I worship something I shouldn't have? Did something get my praise and my attention that shouldn't have? I don't know. You have to wrestle with that. Let's see if we can. We're going to read some Psalms to you. This is Psalm 148. I'm going to read the whole thing. I love this Psalm. This is so beautiful. This is how we call the heavens and the earth to worship. This is our job. Okay? As a human being, this is your responsibility. This is so cool. Listen to this. Okay, this is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all angels. Praise Him, all hosts. Praise Him, sun, moon. Praise Him, shining stars. Praise Him, highest heavens, waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Okay, that's the first half. So, the human being, who is He talking to? Who's the human being talking to? Yeah. This human being is stepping into His God-appointed role as an image bearer and calling the whole angelic host, the angelic army, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the things that are up in this space. He says, hey, everybody, it's time to praise. Everyone, it's time to worship. Not down here, it's all up here. Okay? The psalm continues. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the deeps. That's the water part. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling the word, mountains and the hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and livestock, creeping things and flying birds. All right, so who did we cover there? Creation, so we're talking about plants and mountains and animals and the waters and the seasons. So, yeah, we've got here, here. He continues, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men, maidens together, old men, children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his majesty above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. So, the commandment, don't be making idols, heaven, earth, below. Why? What's your job? It's your job as the idol, as the icon, as the image. Call. You ever done that? You ever tell the angels it's time to worship? Feels kind of weird, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like, angels, let's sing. I tell you what, there's a few moments, this always makes me cry, okay? When I'm up there, whether I'm in a posture of leading worship at the piano, or even just standing on the ground surrounded with y'all, and I'm hearing you sing, and every now and then I'm reminded that we are in participation with an entire angelic host, that they too are singing that. As we are singing, joy to the world, I can almost imagine on an infinite level that exact same angelic choir participating as we call them to sing, that they are singing too, as is our responsibility. Isn't that crazy? We call spirit beings to worship their Creator. He goes and he starts talking about fire, hail, snow, mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Creatures of chaos. Time to praise. God's some pasture somewhere. Tell the cows it's time to start singing. Tell the birds it's time to start singing. Tell the trees it's time to start singing. You might not hear them. Maybe they are, I don't know. This is the responsibility of the image bearer. We model and direct his worship for all creation. What does it mean that we model? Yes, Porter. Would you model for us? We show others. Yeah, we show others. So it's kind of real hard to model worship of God if we are busy worshiping other things. You out? All right, girl. Tell your mom and dad I said hi. Have a good school week. Keep an eye on Aiden for me, please. I know. It's a group effort. It is. How can you model? Because those of us who are parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, let's be honest, okay? Just have a real honest moment. Your kids are learning what to worship by watching you worship. You are showing them what is worthy of worship. What do you bow down to? What do you serve? It's one of the reasons that the commandment goes on. Because the judgment will be passed down from father to son for 3 to 4 generations.
That's all you gotta tell her, is that if she's telling her grandkids, grandkids to worship Bon Jovi, then she's not really worshiping him.
This is true. If he's not passing it down, right? Not passing it down.
You're not worshiping. You're
But there is something that's got, we can be a little fearful of. What I choose to worship will invite a condemnation upon my great-grandkids. Not that God is going to throw a lightning bolt at them, but because I have chosen a lesser thing to worship, a God that cannot deliver, a God that cannot provide, a God that cannot serve what I need, I am setting up my great-grandkids for failure. Right? Or I can model a life of worship, and then I can pass it on to my sons, and they can pass it on to their sons and daughters, and they can pass it on to their sons and daughters. And God says, I will bless that for thousands of generations, those who love me and can keep my commandments. Okay, so model is important, and direct his worship for all creation. Idols are signs, they're pointers. Okay. I'm going to travel home from the church. I'm going to make my way out. I'm going to pass by a lot of road signs, right? Troy, that way. Is that sign Troy? No, it's a pointer. It's a sign. It directs my attention. It directs my direction. That's what you are. That's what you are. That's what you are becoming. You're directing other people's attention to the Creator. A sign that gets people off of themselves, off of a lesser God that cannot deliver and cannot help and cannot heal. You're pointing them towards the only one who can. How can we point to something else other than Yahweh? How can we bow down to it? How can we serve it? It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18. Ready? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? That's the false god. What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them, walk among them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He says, we collectively create what is the living temple of God. So why are we bowing down to things that are not worthy of our praise? Why are we serving things that are not worthy of our attention? Wrong worship diminishes humanity. Do you feel the glory that humanity has been entrusted with? What a privilege. A privilege to be placed in the middle of creation and say, you know what I would like you to do, please? Would you please direct everyone's attention towards me? Would you point and to encourage others to worship at something less and lesser diminishes humanity. It makes us less. It misdirects hope. I told this story this morning. Remember the woman caught in adultery and all the guys that were pointing? Okay. Someday I would like to hear her story. When we step into glory, I would like to sit down with her. Because I don't think she woke up that morning and say, hey, I want to throw my life away. Right? There was something that had led her to a place where she felt like leaving the commandments aside and leaving the tradition of her faith aside and going down that path was the only option that she had. Where she tried to lean on a false God that offers a false hope. That's what we do when we choose sin, when we choose something other than what God's directed. We're choosing a false God that is a false hope that cannot deliver. Israel's first major struggle, you know what it was? Get to the mountain, let out of Egypt, go through the waters. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the experience? You're going through the Red Sea, like it parts and you walk on dry land. Like the greatest geopolitical power of the time, Egypt, completely destroyed. And you didn't do anything. You just watched the whole thing fall down. You are free. You're the first person in your family to be free after 400 years of slavery. You finally make it to the mountain. Moses goes up. What's that, Eric? And what's the very first thing that Israel does? Once Moses steps out of sight, as soon as Dad steps out of the room, what do the kids do? They make an idol. This is the God that led you out of Egypt. The very first thing they do is they make themselves an idol. All your hearts are designed to create, to fabricate, and to make worship. False worship. We are to be holy and separate. How is the second commandment connected to the first commandment? Jackson, you had asked this earlier. How is the first commandment and the second commandment connected? How can you see them together, next to each other? What do they have in common? What are your thoughts? What's that? Okay. And God says that, what? You should have no other gods before me. Are these good? There you go. You should have no other gods before me, so don't make any idols. What other connections do you see? How do you see the first commandment and the second commandment connected? Jackson. There's overlap. There's definitely a connection there. There's some separation, but there's definitely a connection. Sonia?
The first one says, don't make any other gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one just says, don't make idols.
Yeah.
So he's saying, don't go above or below me. Don't make them.
There you go. Don't have any other gods. And don't make any idols that would elicit or call for worship of other gods. You're the idol. You're the icon. You're the image. How can we do this? I mean, any of you here ever carved an image? Like, you got like some secret hidden closet somewhere in your house where you kind of sneak in there and carve yourself a little idol, right? Carve myself an idol. Carve myself an image. But we do this, don't we? We do this. We carve images. We make idols. We bow down to them and we serve them. How can we see this today?
I think by focusing like everything that we do, God is always number one. We think of God before we do anything. Like I said, you wake up, you talk to God first, you don't go for your phone. Because this could be an idol.
Oh!
This could definitely distract you from God.
Ooh, she did it, man. She completely went there. Absolutely. How could your phone become an idol?
Because you spend more time with it than you do bad. There
you go. Yeah. Porter. It could lead you to worship the wrong thing, couldn't you? Yeah. It could direct your worship towards the wrong thing. It could call you to bow down. It could call. That alarm goes off. I don't know what that alarm was set for, but it's calling you to respond. It's calling you to show up. It's telling you to do something. Is it commanding you to bow down to something? Is it telling you to serve something? To serve it, to give of your time, to give of your energy, to give of your money that should only be directed towards God? Yeah, I don't know. It's good. Whew, she went there. Right for the jugular.
Oh, yeah.
All right, just for Jackson. How can we, how are we confronted with this? Idol making.
Confess it.
carved image making. What idols are you a slave to? Whatever it might be, they're not worthy of you. They're not worthy of you. No matter what it is, they are, he is, she is, they are not worthy of your praise. They're not worthy of your worship. They're not worthy of your energy. Only Yahweh, only Jesus. He's the only one that died to save you. He's your creator. He's the only one that calls you by name. So in your evening times of discipleship and reflection, your prayer discipline, you're learning to ask yourself a certain question, okay? You're taking a commandment and you're entering into a time of evaluation. So last week, you ask yourself, hey, how did I break the first commandment? God, did I put other things in front of you? Jesus, did I put other things in front of you? This week, you know, add to that, that second commandment. After you reflect on the first commandment, now reflect on the second commandment. Father, have I bowed down to, am I making an image of something? Am I serving something? Am I worshiping something that's not you? That's not you. Where am I not setting a good example? Where am I not modeling? Where am I not directing others to worship? And then when you get to that place, you confess that. Father, I confess. I've sinned against you in thought and word and deed by what I've done and what I've left undone. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. I did something, Father, I shouldn't have. I bowed down to that. Father, I spent 10 hours today on my phone. And I didn't even spend 10 minutes in conversation with you. See, you want to make a case that you don't worship your phone? Right? I don't know. So that's right. That's why during Advent, I've challenged you. Scripture before screens. Scripture before screens. Have a moment of confession, reflection. God, tomorrow, will you please help me make you number one? I just want to worship you. I want to serve just you. I want to bow down to just you. Questions, guys, before we pray? Harper, good? Clear as mud? Layla, good? Like a termite in a yo-yo? Good? Well, guess what, guys? You want your Christmas present? You are now on Christmas break. You don't have a class next week. You don't have a class the week after that, because it's Christmas Eve. We'll get together after that on the 31st. Okay? Next Sunday, you are not expected or required to be here. I will be here for those who just want a time of review or to work through some things in your faith, just to build. It's not a formal class, but I will be here. Books will be open, and we'll dive into whatever you want to dive into. You know, if it's something that didn't come up in class, but you really kind of want to, hey, can we talk about the whole water below the earth thing? By all means, we can jump in on that, you know, wherever and however. But that time is open and available to you. But yeah, we will pick up, Mr. Adam will pick up with us on the 31st with, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We all know what that means, right? Cheese and crackers. Good. Hope projects. check those boxes. You guys need to be starting to thinking about now your next ministry rotation that will begin in January, okay? Where is an aspect of ministry that you'd like to check out, you'd like to serve? Maybe it's first impressions. Maybe it's some aspect of worship. Maybe it's helping out with kids area. I'm sure Sonia would love to beat the drum for people helping out and getting some exposure into helping. The whole table can just, oh my goodness, you would make Vanessa cry all of a sudden. Oh my goodness, Kim's eyeballs got so big. Yep, so what you need to do is, okay, the challenge is we want you to get exposure. And this does not mean, hey, this is my long-term forever. It's just serving in different capacities, in different places, in different ways, okay, for 3 months, okay? So wherever you're serving now, you don't have to set that aside completely, but we would like you to be exposed at least once or twice a month in a couple different areas, okay? And it doesn't have to kill, it won't kill you. Well, some ministry kills you, but you know, this doesn't have to be one of those ones that kills you, okay? Question, Porter, yes. No, I do like to think that all ministry does ask for the best and the all out of you, completely, 100%. Why don't we stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. Mr. Adam, did I forget anything, miss anything?
No, not miss anything, but I do have something to share. When we studied this, in the answer, the word model stuck with me. It convicted me. That's something I worked through a couple of seasons ago. Skipping ahead, we're in Advent, but it's Easter. We come into the season. In the past, I've gone to churches where we did the Ash Wednesday. And a lot of people, myself included, were like, man, everybody look at me, and I look weird. And I don't want to shove this in other people's faces. That's weird. Yet, I would wear a Ford or a Chevy hat and shirt. I would wear my football team.
With pride, yeah.
I would put on Nike or Adidas. My wife would put
so
on.
So true.
Baton. We would promote and reflect an image that we wanted other people to recognize. Promote that and call other people to see that it's good. But I felt weird about putting a cross on my forehead and walking around.
That'll preach.
When you work through that model, think about it.
This year for Lent, we're putting crosses on everyone's foreheads. And we'll do a pile where everyone can set their jerseys there and give them up.
Or their purses.
Or their purses. Leave your purses there. Or your iPhone.
Whatever it is that we hold out for everybody to see.
I like it.
The other thing is, Hope Project, December 19th. It's a weeknight, 5:30 p.m. For those of you who haven't had an opportunity, or even if you would just like to double up, we will be at Roosevelt Manor, which is catty corner from the Bethany Center. It's downtown here in Piqua. It is a place where elderly folks, Social Security, must be on some sort of disability. It's that type of Section 8 housing unit. We will be delivering Christmas gifts. If you're interested.
I think the bags are all ready to go, right?
Bags are packed up and ready. We need to help knocking on doors and talking to very lonely people and delivering them.
Merry Christmas. Home. Yeah. It's Merry Christmas. That's really cool.
What time is that?
5:30 p.m.
Where are we meeting at?
We'll probably meet here at 5, put everything in some cars, roll down the hill, spend our evening walking around, knocking on doors. We will be escorted by the manager of the property and a resident that we have a connection with. So we're not just walking in there cold, but that's our...
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Let me pray over you. Thank you so much for being here this evening. You guys are awesome. Questions were awesome. These are all things that you wrestle with. These are the things that you wrestle with. Father God, we're learning how to walk in the way that is Jesus. Help us, Father, as we reflect starting tonight. Have we put anything in front of you? Do we worship any other God but you? We created idols of something? What a privilege, Father, that you invite us, have called us to be your image bearers, to model and direct the worship of you for all creation. Thank you. That's an amazing gift. Help us to do it well. Help us as we become more like Jesus to do that well. Your blessing upon us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.